Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God is returning soon, and He's given us so much to work with. Those that love Him are always in operation. You know, we're operatives working together. Now the move of God is global, but it's one operation, and all of us who follow God are operatives. And those who love Him and follow Him, we're linked to Him. We're active. And when anytime people yield to the Holy Spirit, they're an operative. Some people yield in part. They yield. Some people yield to the Lord, and then sometimes they operate according to their own ways. And they're not active at that point. Now, when we follow God and do exactly what He say, and I'm talking about His guidance, His calling. If He give you a calling, and you receive it, some people don't receive their calling. They receive it in title, but not in action. But I'm talking about those who receive it in action, in willingness. Now that's where God starts moving. That's what I'm talking about. God gave them a calling. They're not running from it. They're not trying to put something else in front of it to save face among men. They do what God called them to do without the reservations of others or aside from the expectations of others. People don't always agree, you know. And I talked about earlier how, in other broadcasts, how everybody, most of the people that I know that are apostles, God really called them to be an apostle, for instance, or a prophet. It's obvious, you know, when some people have that calling and you know it, it's obvious. But then there are those who call themselves apostles. They don't have the calling. When people really have the I can tell when somebody's a real apostle and when they're not. I don't know. Discerning of spirits works in my ministry, and that's possibly how I can tell. I just know, and I can see that anointing on people, but they try to become something else. Now, when you do that, you're not linking up to the head. You know, Kenneth Hagin, God used him as a teacher, and He also used him prophetically. But he put his teaching ministry first, and he broke his arm. And when he sought the Lord about why he broke his arm, the Lord said, He allowed that to happen to get his attention. I read about it in the book, I believe in Visions. And He said, you put your teaching ministry first, and your prophetic ministry lasts. And He did it because prophets, you know, what the mindset of the culture has nothing to do with God, but the mindset of the culture, they only received pastors and evangelists. They felt like the prophets and the event and the prophets and the apostles went out with the apostles, and God don't call them no more. That's a lie, because God, we all, until all are one, we need the fivefold ministry. That's just the knowledge of God. And sometimes people believe lies, and we try to bear with them. We don't have to bear with people when they believe a lie. If we're connected to the head, be connected to the head. And don't be ashamed of it, and don't try to fix it. It's not broken. But when we're in agreement with God, and He's the head, and we're doing precisely what He say, now we're ready to do something. Jesus said, let your light therefore shine. Don't hide it. You don't have to apologize for being bright. You don't have to apologize for being corrected. You don't have to apologize for being made righteous. You don't have to apologize for loving God. You don't have to apologize for worshiping God. You can worship God wherever you want. You can pray wherever you want. They try to take prayer to school. Just because they want the devil don't mean I do. And I don't have to apologize, and I won't apologize. I worship God where I want to. But what he called me to do, I sympathize with people when they, I know the challenges, but when I made a vow to God that I would obey him, and he called me, I didn't have any, you know, what I felt that was irrelevant. I made a vow and I'm going to keep it. So, but this is the beautiful thing of it. I could have been just like anybody else and crawfished away. You know, crawfish run backwards. I could have ran backwards. But because I had a vow in my life, I had to obey him. But what I found out is, it's beautiful when you trust God and go in his way. Even though people are going to persecute you, not believe in you, believe you're a hypocrite, or you just want to be proud or whatever. Whatever they come up with, whatever. I'm used to it. It's irrelevant. It doesn't bother me. And even and sometimes I expect it. But I don't care. And it don't change my love for the people. I knew this was going to happen from the beginning. But if God called me to do something, it works. And I'll do it the way he gave me to do it. Everything that I do it at his command. And he gave me protocols. Because of things like that, he has a counter for everything, every attack that Satan comes up with. He's got a counter for it. And through following God, I just happened to learn about it. And the enemy the reason he wants the apostle ministry shut down is because we're dangerous. The reason he wants the prophetic ministry shut down is because we're dangerous. And the reason he wants anybody that'll preach to preach wrong is because we're dangerous to Satan and his kingdom. And I'm going to be dangerous. I'm going to always be dangerous. I'm going to seek God and I'm going to follow and I'm going to do all that's in his heart without reserves and without allowances. But see, the Hebrews had to, God's people had to drive out the Canaanites. So when I say I would do all that's in his heart and everything that's not like God got to go, anything that I missed because I don't have the knowledge to see it or I'm not aware of it, I'm on ready so that when I am, when God show me, when I am, when I do see it, when I am ready to, when I know it's there, I can drive it out without reserves. I don't want reserves in my life and I don't want allowances in my life. That's the things that we hold back. That's holding us back. We keep, you know, you can't keep a seed of doubt in your back pocket. You got to throw it out. You can't allow fear in your life anywhere. And see, a lot of people, just like there are those that doubt against you, or they don't believe in your ministry, or they're jealous because God gave it to you. They can tell God gave it to you and they're jealous against you. That has nothing to do with your obedience. You can still be obedient and they'll have to catch up later. But just like that, there are those that were resistant. There are those that were receptive. And that's who we go to bat for. God's people that are locked in the world that need a strong anointing to come break them out of jail. And If we compromise because we want to be accepted by lukewarm people, then the people that's going to do the suffering are the people that's already trapped in the world. That if you break them free, then they'll be, you know, it's worth it to always break people out of jail. They're going to miss hell. They're going to grow in the Lord. They're going to be people that love him, that take him serious. See, everybody that bear fruit, they got this other problem and blessing at the same time. We bear fruit according to what we are. So if I allow myself to be immature and I bear fruit, then the fruit that I bear is going to have the same challenge of immaturity. Now they can break through if they want to as an individual. But they'll be groomed in immaturity. If a person loves God, but they got racial problems or racism problems, sometimes people don't drive that out of their heart all the way. just using it as an example. But when they get saved and they bear fruit, if they don't drive out the racism problem, then the people that come up under their ministry will have that'll be a greater challenge. In other words, they're leaving hurdles for those that come up under their ministry to jump over. But if you conquer it and teach people how to conquer it, then it's not going to be a problem for those that come up under your ministry. Same thing with finances. That's why I work so hard to become a good financial steward. And my pastor teaches good stewardship. And I had to make some adjustments. It's not because I was I didn't care, but that was some things I didn't deal with financially until about 15 years ago. I had to pay child support. I had a lot of bills, and I worked hard to go forward. But all the challenges I had, I sought the Lord, and I received answers. And I wanted to win in that area, because the people that come up under your ministry, if you're failing in an area, it leaves a hurdle for them. But good stewardship, and I said, I'm going to get out of this rut. I determined, just like I did all the time, I said, I'm going to conquer this. And then I feel the peace, the joy. I'm in agreement with God at that point. Everything is not right. And there were things that I did not know. And I knew that, I said, things are not working like they're supposed to. There's something I'm missing. I'm going to learn it. See, a confession helps you become a student. Even though you have a calling, even though you have some successes in the Lord, there are areas that sometimes you're just going to have to be a student, and you're going to have to grow. Just because God give you a calling, you still have to determine and live by the wisdom of the Proverbs. You still have to be a student. You know, when God called me to be an apostle, it didn't mean that I knew everything. I just had an anointing. I had an office, and when he anointed me, I asked the Lord his definition for the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So if I have the anointing, I have God's ability to do it. But I still have to grow and learn as a person, just like everybody else. A calling don't make you mature. You have to determine to be mature. You have to listen to your pastors. Wait a minute, you said you was an apostle and you got a pastor? Of course. If the prophet is serving, sometimes you have to go all the way down to the bottom. Look at wisdom. John the Baptist baptized Jesus, right? Jesus, he made sure that he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he's the Son of God. And he had all the gifts of God in full measure, except for the gift of tongues, because God didn't start that yet. But he made sure he was baptized by John. What does that tell us? The prophet is subject to the prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet. Jesus is a greater prophet. And John acknowledged that. And he made sure he was baptized by John. And John didn't want to do it because he felt like he wasn't worthy. What makes us worthy? Think about it. If God called a man to be a pastor or a teacher or an apostle or a prophet, if God called that person, he gave him his ability to do that. And all those functions are necessary. Now, there are those that a man was that taught with. I consider him a teacher. But he taught things that really blessed my life. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't be. I'm standing on his shoulders. See, When I say I'm standing on somebody's shoulder, they showed me something, an element that helped me make the decisions necessary to grow. Or they helped me grow. And without their element, I would still be 5 years behind. But because they did what their part, it helped me do my part. It all works together. Teachers teach apostles. Apostles teach teachers. Apostles don't just fall out the air. They have to have pastors first. It all works together. Concepts that people have are not always accurate. But see, God came, he does, he thinks of everything. If you follow God, you do what you're supposed to. Now, you can get in pride and say, I don't need a pastor. Them the dumb apostles. They got a gift, they got the anointing, they got an office, but they dumb. Because they didn't get a pastor too. And they don't listen when they had one. And they try to tell the pastor everything to do. You let him do his job, and you do your job. Now, if I had it all together, then somebody could say, well, you don't need a pastor. Well, I don't have it all together. I need my pastor, and God gave me a good one so I can do my job, so I can be corrected. People that get in pride, they make lousy students. With everybody, you can learn from any child of God. Anybody that's washed in the blood, you can learn something from. I don't care how old they are or how young they are. If you got your eyes open and if you're listening for Jesus, when he decides to activate one of his pupils, you can learn something that can be very key to you. And most people miss out on God's best because they're fooling around with pride. Pride, it's looking within. It wants something. It looks for something big to happen, something grandiose to happen. You know, I need a preacher to come from out of town that's got a bigger ministry than me. Then I listen to him. I heard one pastor say he don't want anybody to give him a word in his congregation. I said, that's a mistake. That's a terrible mistake. But that's what he said. And guess what the people did? They didn't give him no word. And guess what? Things went south. But when you follow God and you're listening, you know, the wisest people, they don't have that pride problem. You know, it's all about God being connected. How does he come to us? When he sent a servant in Luke chapter 10, he said, if you receive my servant, you receive me. If you receive me, you receive my Father. It can't be disconnected. That's the way it is. Apostles are here to be a servant, not a king. We're all priests and kings. But what God enabled me to do, when he talks to me, and when his word comes to me saying something, when he gives me knowledge that I don't ask for, and he talked to me about the church, the condition of the church, what's wrong, what's right, what I need to do, how I need to mend. That's why I teach this way. I got in his presence before I got in your presence. But nevertheless, we need each other. But see, Satan's kingdom works backwards. They work by pride only. And so they tempt you with what they do because it won't work. Satan, the kingdom of darkness has no rules. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, and that's how they prosper. They're an Ouroboro, a serpent that eats its own tail. Because if you throw bricks at people, guess what's coming back at you? You've sown it, you've sown the wind, and you're going to reap the whirlwind. So you're taking from others, so because of the laws of sowing and reaping, somebody's going to take from you. You know, it's just like the election. Trump won. They stole it. Guess what? Somebody's going to steal from them. Just watch. Just watch. Just like Samson. His wife, he put out a riddle. his wife told a riddle. And the Lord knew this was going to happen. And then they want, and that made Samson mad. So he went out and killed so many Philistines and gave them the prize they won. And then he got mad and left. Then he thought about his wife and came back. And her father gave her to somebody else. So that made him mad. Now he had to fight. He had a reason to fight. To destroy the people that was against the covenant. The Lord set things up so that, and they were activated. He knew that her heart was not toward Samson anyway. But Samson loved her and he was sincere. But God, this was to strike a match so that God could destroy what was trying to destroy the covenant. That was, you know, the enemy that was aimed at the covenant. And then Samson he destroyed 5,000 Philistines in his life. I say 5,000 because he killed 1,000 with the donkey jawbone and 3,000 when he was fighting. Beside the ones when he burned up the battle after he set the foxtails on fire and burned up the corn. So I estimated 5,000. It said that he killed more in his death than in his life. So in his death he killed 3,000, 1,000 with the donkey jawbone. So I know 5 is the number of judgment. That's where I get 5,000. So it's between 5,000 and 6,000. And God knows the accurate number. But I bet when I just got a feeling that when we find out exactly, it'll be around 5,000. I had to say all that because I don't like to speculate. And you know, you can start rumors, spiritual rumors. I don't want to start another spiritual rumor. You know, you have to do your own research. But when I did mine, that's, you know, it's between 5,000 and 6,000. Nevertheless, God loves us and he's with us. And our anointing needs to be connected to the head. Following God is living your whole life connected to Jesus. Sometimes people say, well, I'll do it this way. But if that's not what God guided you to do, if he guides you at all, you need to make sure you do that. That's the only way to stay connected to the head. And whatever he do, you need to at least get his approval. And it's always best to check to choose the his perfect choice. The first thing God give you to do, go with it. Don't try to tweak it. Stay connected to the head if you want to see the greater glory, the greater power. If you want to grow from glory to glory like you're designed to, you have to do it. And then the people that he sent into your life, accept, receive them. Don't be like the dumb ones that they're getting pride and think they got this. Because that's why Jesus said, many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. See, sometimes when people start way out at the bottom or in the back, they start seeing things for discrepancies. If you, anybody that go in God's presence and then walk out in the world, you're going to see discrepancies. If you grow up in church like I did, and you study Jesus, and you see what's going on, you're going to see discrepancies. But when it's coming from the leaders, you know, hey, Lord, what's wrong? There are people, multitudes of people being taught about, hey, something's wrong. And they can't put their finger on it, but God will guide them. And so that they don't make the same mistakes. This was what happened to me. I didn't know this. The Lord guided me and he showed me things that was wrong, things that were out of place. Now, just because I know that there are things out of place, how can I go and school somebody about what's out of place when it's so much out of place? If people follow God, God would deal with all the details. Kenneth Hagin had that situation once. he was around ministers, and they say, how goes the battle? And he said, it's going good. And they thought he was lying. But he had given, when he was pastoring, he gave it over to God. He let God work out the details. And he taught people the word. And eventually all those problems were worked out. And they didn't know how, we don't know how to get people, we don't know how to herd cats. The only person that ever herded cats was Barbara. He made Barbara's milk. You know, that's the only way you can pour some milk in a bowl and the cats are going to come to it. And also he owned Central Plaza and women go shopping. Anyway, little joke. Nevertheless, we can't herd cats, but we can follow God, and all the things that God wants to do can be done. When leaders are corrected, multitudes are corrected. And at least when the leadership is corrected by Jesus and he's following Jesus, and people are watching and they still got comments, but they're watching and they see some people, they'll look at the pastor before they look to Jesus. So if the pastor's following Jesus, it'll be easier for them. They're being groomed to look to Jesus. The best pastors cause people to look to Jesus. And the worst pastors cause people to look to them. And then the devil gets involved and the whole thing goes lukewarm. But when you look into Jesus, you start experiencing Jesus. You're taught, it's weird to you. You do it, it works. And you make adjustments. Then God brings you to another glory. And he shows you other things that's out of place. You're more mature. You can take it. You receive knowledge. You grow. You operate in his love. And then you make adjustments. And you look at him. It's easy. Every time you grow from glory to glory, it's easier to look to him. And then, you know, the ones that got in pride, they're last. They don't know what to do. God's not, they left God alone. They're deactive because they didn't listen. They look within, pride looks within. The difference between a person that's active and a person that's deactive is their focus. If you're focusing on Jesus, it's just like driving down the road. I learned this from Frank Manchin years ago. He said, if you want to drive smooth, look way down the road. And your hand will make the detail adjustments, and the car ride smooth. But if you look 4 feet in front of the car, it's going to be a choppy ride. Same thing with if you watch Jesus, you can do what he's doing. You can get on board with what the Father really wants to do, and you'll be patient because some things take time. And when things look like it's taking too long, then you'll look to him. And you're always growing as a person and paying attention to the guidance of God. And then you'll see what the Father sees. And you'll say, oh, it took years sometimes for me before God clued me in. He would say, do this, do that. He'd give me a concept. I said, what do you want me to do with it? There was nothing to do. He wouldn't give me any further instructions. He gave me that. He woke me up and taught me about Egypt. Back in 2004. In 2011, he gave me the assignment what to do with that knowledge. Write a book. I wrote the book. Published it. And it was ready by 2012. So assignments, they come. You do it when God tell you to do it, and it'll work. And I put it, it's been on the website, on my first website for years. Still on there. God loves us, and he'll guide us into all truth. There's nothing we can do greater works as we're connected to him. Those that are active are connected to the head. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And that's a true fact. That's not going to stop being true just because a person get an education. We can learn facts about God and teach those facts, but that don't mean we're connected to the vine or the head. If Christ is the head of the church, We need to remain connected in order to be what we truly, in order to be a Marine. Marines, they say the Marines, be all you can be. If you want to be all you can be, stay connected to the head. Let him sanction everything you do. Ask questions. So I ask questions so I can understand what I don't, so I can be in agreement. How can two walk together unless they're in agreement? Now, how can I used to wrestle. I can't keep wrestling Jesus. Just cooperate with him. Be done with it. And I promise you, you're going to love it, because God thinks of everything. And when the more people are connected to him, when you see all the chaos that's going on, you got to understand something. The Lord's laughing at that stuff. People are worried about the Antichrist showing up, taking their guns and telling them what to do and trying to give them the mark. If you love Jesus, you ain't going to take that mark. I said, I'm over here praying, Lord, give me what you want me to do. I want to aggravate him to the core. I want to aggravate Satan, and I want to aggravate the Antichrist. I want to make his job hard. But I can't do it alone. I have to do what my power is in loving God and doing what he say do. We'll close with that because I'm out of time. But God is not out of time. God got this. He's always in motion. But those who cooperate with him, they're in motion. They're operatives doing what he does, living the love that he provided, the example of Jesus. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.